to shed a few tears, but just don't stay there. Hallelujah! Amen. Brother Grissom, what if I feel like crying all the time? Well, just get up and dance a little bit. Just get up and start thinking about the joy of the Lord. Just think about how good He's been to you. Amen. Praise the Lord. A lot of our crying has to do about what we think about. Amen. Glory. Well, I don't want to get in trouble, so let me go to the Bible. The book of 2 Samuel chapter 21. If we can get a good crew, we would like to make peanut brittle on Tuesday night, 6 o'clock. Would that be possible? Anybody can help us on Tuesday night? All right. All right. You can take some orders if you know some folks that might want. This will be the last time that we'll make it before Christmas and the New Year. So if anybody wants some of our peanut brittle for the New Year, they have to get it now. Amen. The kitchen's closed after Tuesday. So, if they want it, they got to get it now. Amen. And then we won't make it again in the new year till we have time for everybody's resolution to wear off. Amen. And then we'll do it again. Praise the Lord. All right. Thank you for all of your hard work this last few weeks. We've got a lot going on and we got some more to come. Hey, next Sunday is going to be great. We're going to have Christmas in the country. Amen. And so the morning service, it's a beautiful little drama that you'll enjoy. Amen. You'll see some new actors. Amen. You've never seen before. Amen. It's going to be quite delightful. And then in the evening, we will get together. We're going to have a great time of fellowship and food and singing. Amen. A little English, el español. Vamos a cantar algunas canciones en español para la gloria del Señor. Amen. Praise the Lord. Isn't that right? Yeah. So it'll be great. Look forward to it. Invite people. Amen. We don't know what will happen. We're not planning to do any preaching, but you never know. Amen. So we'll just see what happens. Thank you for being responsive to the Spirit of the Lord in this service here tonight. 2 Samuel chapter 21. And let's begin reading here in verse number 15. Moreover, the Philistines had yet war again with Israel. And David went down and his servants with him and fought against the Philistines. And David waxed faint. And Ishbibenob, don't you love that name? Ishbibenob. If I ever have a grandson, I'm not going to name him that. Ishbibenob. But it's a neat word. Which was of the sons of the giants, the weight of whose spear weighed 300 shekels of brass in weight. Just the head weighed about 8 pounds. And he being girded with a new sword. Now, new sword, the word sword's not really there in the Hebrew. It just says new. So he had something new. Everybody say he went to war with something new. He had something new. I'm not real sure what it was, but it was new. And he thought to have slain David. But Abishai, the son of Zeruiah, succored him. Now the word succor here doesn't mean like we use sucker punch or something. That word, it's an ancient English word that means he helped him. He helped him. Amen. And so that's what that word means. He helped him. And he smote the Philistine and killed him. Then the men of David swear unto him, saying, Thou shalt go no more out with us to battle. Thou quenched not the light of Israel. It came to pass after this, there was again a battle with the Philistines at Gob. And Sibbechai, the Hushathite, slew Saph, which is of the sons of the giant. And there was again a battle at Gob with the Philistines, wherein Elhanan, the son of Jaare-Oregim, a Bethlehemite, slew the brother of Goliath, the Gittite, the staff of whose spear was like a weaver's beam. Did you notice Goliath shows up again? Amen. Here's Goliath again. So our subject for this evening is going to be Goliath, the sequel. Just when we thought it was over, he shows up again. Life's like that. Just when you think everything's smooth sailing, trouble shows up again. Just when you think you've got a thing conquered, it'll raise its ugly head again. And so, we're going to learn tonight about Goliath 2. Amen. Or a sequel. The story continues. The Lord bless you and you may be seated. We remember David and Goliath. One of the greatest stories in the Bible. My, how I love the story of David and Goliath. When I was just a little bitty boy, before I could ever read, couldn't have been over 18. Months. When I was just a little bitty boy, we had a big old family Bible, and it had awesome pictures in it. And my favorite picture in that whole Bible was a picture of David and Goliath. Goliath was laying out on the ground, and David was standing on top of him with a sword in one hand and his old bloody head in the other one. I like that story. Amen. I was a little boy, but I could tell you the story. I couldn't read it, but I could tell it to you. Amen. Because I have always loved the story of David and Goliath. Amen. When David went out, he was just a lad, probably a teenager, and he went against a mighty man of war, a man trained in all the arts, a man massive in size and unbelievable in strength, and a man well fitted for his task. But David goes out with just a sling, and in the name of the Lord, hallelujah, and he just twirls his sling a little bit, lets the stone fly, and God directed it right between the giant's eyes, right in a soft spot in his forehead. And down he falls. And before he can hit the dust good, David grabs his sword and cuts his head off. Amen. And then he grabs his head and he raises it up and he says, Get him! And all of a sudden, those Israelites that had been shaken in the shadows rise with a mighty roar, and they begin to pursue the Philistines, and they chase after him, after them, and they're destroying enemy on every side, and they destroy, push them all the way back. And David takes the head of Goliath up on the hill, and he puts it on the gate of Gath, and he says, You're next. David and Goliath. We know that story. We love that story. But you know what? He had to face Goliath again. In the King James Version, which we love so very much, it talks about the brother of Goliath. But in the direct Hebrew text, it doesn't have the brother of. It just says Goliath. So either there was another giant by the name of Goliath. It certainly wasn't the same one. I don't believe they reattached his head and sent him back out. Not after what David put it through. That Goliath is dead. But there was another Goliath. And he shows up again. But this time, he shows up with three more giants. You see, just about the time you think that you've got it all together and all of your enemies are put to rest, Goliath will show up with three of his brothers. When I was in Sunday school, they taught us that when David went down to the brook, he picked up five stones because Goliath had four brothers. Amen. Amen. They also taught us that he picked up five stones. One was J, one was E, one was S, one was U. And one was S. And that spells Jesus. Amen. So he went out to battle. And he was ready to war. Enemies sometimes can lay dormant for a long time. Did anybody ever have chicken pox when you were little? Did you know that that virus can go down close to the spinal cord and it can rest in a root? And when you get to be an adult, it can come back out of there and you'll have shingles. And it'll hurt a whole lot worse than chicken pox ever did. And it can last a long time. Amen. I know because I had that. Amen. I had shingles and dengue fever at the same time. And I was in a world of hurt. Amen. And the men of the church came over and prayed for me. And I want you to know the Lord healed me. Praise the Lord. He took it away. Hallelujah. How do I know I have that? I went to the doctor the next day and she did some tests. And she said, looks like you had shingles and dengue fever. I didn't know what in the world that was. It's called bone break fever for a good reason. It feels like your bones are going to break. Feels like your head's going to come off. Amen. Feels like your stomach's going to come up. And maybe your toenails. Amen. It's a bad, bad thing. But I'm telling you, the Lord of glory reached down in His mercy and healed me. And I'm so very thankful to this day. So enemies can lay dormant and then they can appear in a moment when you don't expect them. And that's what happened to David. David began to make some preparations when he didn't know he was making preparations. Amen. You see, it's good just to listen to the Lord because He may be preparing you for something you don't know is coming. There was a drought going on. It had been in drought for 3 years. And David began to pray. And the Lord said, the reason for this drought is because Saul and his house did something that offended me. 400 years before Saul, Joshua made a covenant with the Gideonites. And God heard that covenant. You see, when you tell God something, it doesn't matter how much time passes. He still wants you to hold up your end of the bargain, and He's going to hold up His. He takes His word seriously, and He'll take your word seriously. And so, it's interesting about Saul that he could disobey God and not destroy all of the Amalekites, and yet he could get overzealous and attacked the Gibeonites. The Gibeonites were under a covenant with Israel. The Amalekites were under the curse of God. So Saul, in his ignorance, attacked the people of the covenant and saved the people who were cursed. That's what happens when you get out of sync with God. And so because he attacked the Gideonites, the Lord was punishing Israel even though Saul had died. A famine came, and so when David sought the Lord, he told him what was going on and told him what to do about it. David called for the king of Gibeah. He came. He began to express his desire to make peace and what can we do. And the king told David what he could do to bring peace. He said, I want you to take 7 sons of Saul, bring them to us, and we'll hang them before the Lord. Now, this is a sad story, folks. It's a tragic story. It's hard to understand. But David did that. He took 7 of the grandsons of Saul, and he gave them to the enemy, and they hung them. And they let them hang until the rain came, which was a long time. It was a sad story. But there's an inspiration there. One of the mothers of 2 of those sons that were hanged came. Her name was Rizpah. And she pitched a tarp there, and she made her a little shelter. And she would go out every day. In the morning when she would get up, she would get something in her hand, and she would go out, and when the birds would come and try to pick the flesh from the corpse of her sons and their kin, she would take her cloak and she would drive away the birds of prey, and she would not allow them to consume the flesh of her sons. And when the night time came and the wolves and the coyotes would come and they would smell the decaying flesh and they would come in for the feast, and she would build fires and into the night she would drive those beasts away. Would not allow them. She couldn't bring them back, but she honored their memory. There's much to be said for the spirit of Rizpah. And I think today, if mothers of our generation could get that concerned about the salvation of their children, great things could happen. If moms could get the spirit of Rizpah and get in a spirit of prayer somewhere and say, oh, birds of prey and filthy and vile spirits of the world, you can't have my son. You can't have my daughter. I fight you. I rebuke you. I stand against you in the authority and in the power of the name of Jesus Christ. And you'll take a stand against the forces of darkness that would try to come against your family and come against your children, and let that spirit rest upon you. God would honor that kind of a prayer, and His heart would be moved, and our children can be saved. Hallelujah. When David heard about Rizpah, he sent a group of troops to that place. And he did something that really should have already been done. Not only did he take down those 7 men that had been hung, But he gathered up the bones of Saul and Jonathan and brought them home also and buried them in the tomb of Kish, the father of Saul. And finally, he put a part of his life that he had allowed to hang on for far too long, he finally let it, put it to rest. You see, one of the hard things that we have to deal with and getting ready to face an enemy, you don't want to face an enemy with unforgiveness in your heart. You don't want to go to war with your enemy with bitterness in your heart. Yeah, man, he won't have much trouble with you. You'll be easy to overcome. But if you'll prepare yourself like David did, go and get your Saul, that one that hunted you and haunted you and hated you and tried to take your life and made your life miserable, and you bury him and you put all of those feelings away and you say, I'll forgive regardless of whether he asks me to or not. It doesn't matter. For my sake, for the sake of my soul, I forgive, because I'm going to face another Goliath one day, and I'm going to need all of the strength that I can possibly possess. And I don't want bitterness and unforgiveness draining my strength and energy. Hey, it'll destroy you. Amen. It'll take life out of you. It'll dry you up. It will shrivel you. You don't want to hold on to unforgiveness. Just bury it. He buried Saul. And along with Saul, he buried Jonathan. Jonathan was his friend, his beloved brother in the Lord. And it was all of his pleasant dreams. Amen. Sometimes you have to let go of some pleasant things. Amen. I'm not saying that David ever forgot Jonathan. He didn't. He honored him all the days of his life. But, you know, sometimes we can hang on to memories so long. A memory of the past that will hinder the present. Amen. So we've got to let some things go. Amen. You got to put Saul away, and you got to put Jonathan away. Amen. And you got to prepare, because Goliath, you're going to meet him in the morning. He is going to be there soon. And so David, I think led by the Lord, made some preparations. And then, when the challenge presented itself, David was ready. I want you to understand something. David's not a teenager anymore. He's not using a sling anymore. He's not watching sheep anymore. He's been sitting at the king's table. He's had a few good meals by now. Amen. He's not out walking every day in the Judean wilderness behind a flock of sheep. He's been sitting on a throne. In other words, he's out of shape. I'm kind of like the guy who said, well, round's a shape. So I guess I'm in shape. But when David went to war this time, it was different than when David went to war last time. Now, when time passes, you're going to have to fight your battles a different way. Just because something worked in the past does not mean it'll work in the present. One of our mistakes is we try to fight the enemy in the same way that we thought him before, but it doesn't always work. David goes out to fight this giant, and the Bible says that he waxed faint. David's an old man now. He's not a whippersnapper anymore. You know, hey, when you get old, something happens to your muscles. Amen. You don't have the same flexibility. You don't have the same speedy reflexes. Amen. You might not even have the same sharpness of mind. The reason I say that is because I've heard those things. Amen. But you know what I believe? I don't think it's because I have such slow thoughts. I think it's because I've got so much up there. You know, if you have you get a computer that doesn't have a lot of stuff on it, man, it's fast. You hit a key and it'll bring up information. But you get a computer that's got all of its memories almost full, it has to work a while to find stuff. You see, that's what age does for you. You just got to, I'm helping you old folks. Help me out here. I'm trying to comfort you. It's not that you're old. You just got so much up there. Amen. Young people, they're quick, but they don't have much up there yet. But all these years that you've been living, all these experiences that you've had, and all these battles that you fought, you just got a whole lot up there. So David goes to battle. He's going to fight this Goliath like he fought the last Goliath. And it almost cost him his life. He got out there, you know, and he started swinging that sword. And he got out of breath pretty quick. Amen. He jabbed a few times and thought, man, I'll get you. Woo! Boy, this sword's getting heavy. And he just didn't have it anymore. Amen. You see, as you get older, you don't fight your battles the same way. Amen. You still fight. You'll still be victorious. You not only can bring down one giant, you'll bring down all four of them, but you got to do it a different way. Amen. So along comes a young man by the name of Jonathan and saves David's bacon. Amen. His name might have been Jonathan Bacon. I don't know. But along he comes. Amen. Or Abishai. This is Abishai. I'll get on to Jonathan in a minute. Abishai comes and he suckers David or helps David. Amen. I don't know who thrust the final blow. I don't know if it was David's sword or Abishai's sword. But together the two of them brought him down. And I'm telling you tonight, I was so thankful for this service that we just had. And the Lord was calling some people down here. And you know what He's saying? He said, it's not up to your preacher. Don't depend on your pastor to do everything. It's time for you to put your hand to the sword. Don't let him go out to war alone anymore. Don't send him to the forefront. He's old and he's fat. Amen. But get behind him. Stand with him. Put your shoulder to the wheel and say, Pastor, I'm going to help you. You're not in this battle alone. You're not fighting Goliath again by yourself. Amen. So when David went to fight the old way, it didn't work. Now, this is something important for us to learn. When it comes to doctrine, we don't change anything. But when it comes to methods, We have to change some things. Has anybody noticed the world has changed? Have you noticed that? People are not the same they used to be. People don't think like they used to think. People grew up in an entirely different atmosphere than they used to be in. This is a different world, folks. And when people come to God and you help them, it's a different thing than it used to be. People used to come to the Lord, and it was a man and his wife and their children. And this is not a slam on anybody, please understand. It's just the way things are. Now people come to God, and it might be a man and somebody that's not yet his wife, but they've been living as man and wife, maybe for many years. And then they may have his children and her children, somebody else's children. And you're dealing with a different battle today than what you dealt with in the past. Amen. You may have somebody that comes that you think's a him, and it's not a him. You think it's a her, but it's not a her. We're dealing with a different group of people today. We have some different Goliaths today. Amen. We're not dealing with the same old things we used to deal with. When people used to come to God, almost all of them had a Christian background. They did. They already feared God. They didn't know about the Holy Ghost yet, but they knew about repentance. And they knew a lot about God, and they had a respect for God, and they believed in the Bible. We're facing a generation today that doesn't believe anything. We got a new Goliath, folks, that we're facing on the battlefield. And if we're going to fight with this giant, we're going to have to do some thinking. And we're going to have to face this giant in a different way. Amen. It's just not the same old battle. Amen. And so first of all, we have to be willing to accept change. Everybody say change. Say it again. Accept change. That's not always easy for us to do. Accept change. Amen. Some people say, well, you know, I like it the way it was. I do too. But it just won't work in this generation. Amen. This is a different Goliath we're facing. Amen. Oh yes, prayer's still the same. The Word's still the same. The Spirit's still the same. The blood's still the same. The name is still the same. But we're just going to have to work in a little different way. First of all, we can't be Lone Rangers anymore. Amen. We just can't be Lone Rangers anymore. You can't get your white hat and jump on high hole silver and away and go out and win the day. Oh no. Amen. Not this Goliath. Amen. You got to have Tonto and a whole bunch of his little warriors. Amen. Don't go by yourself. Not anymore. Amen. Praise God. We got to learn how to fight a new way. We got to learn that this is a different kind of battle. So David went to war against Goliath, and he began to learn some things. He learned, first of all, you know, I've got to have, not only do I need my elders, but I need some young folks with me. Amen. I need the wisdom of the elder, but I need the strength of youth. I need the vitality of you. You see, I can't jump and run like I used to, so I need you to run for me. Amen. I can't jump as high, so you just jump for me. I don't get quite as excited, so you just get excited for me. I'll be jumping on the inside. Amen. Praise the Lord. But you see, we're fighting a little different way here. We got to work together. So David, the Lord taught him, he said, now David, the first time you went out, you were young. And the first time you went out, you were alone. And God went with you. But you're not alone anymore. This is a different battle that you're fighting now. You're fighting a different enemy. And you're in a different perspective than you used to be. You're not a shepherd boy anymore. You're a king now. So David went to war, but he went in a different way. This is quite interesting. The Bible says not only did they kill Ishibab, Ishibibinab, what a good name. Love that. This next guy's a leader, his name was South. South. But the guy that killed him, it wasn't any better. Sibichai was the Israelite that slew the Philistine giant by the name of South. Amen. It was another one of David's young warriors. Amen. Went out to war. And then there was another one by the name of Goliath. We've heard of him before. Now this wasn't the old Goliath. He's dead. But this, I don't know if this was his brother. If it was, maybe they were twins and they didn't have much imagination. Or maybe it was his son. And this is Goliath Jr. that was bigger than Goliath Sr. But anyway, he went out to war. And the Bible says there was a young man by the name of Hanan. And he was a Bethlehemite, like David. And he went out. And he slew this giant. Amen. And then there was one more. We don't know his name, but this was one weird fella. He was massive. He was huge. But what stood out about him is he had six fingers on each hand and six toes on each feet. He was better at math than most of us. He could go all the way up to 24. Took his shoes off, he could get to 48. I mean, this guy was good. Amen. And so when he went to battle, amen, this was the man that they fought. Amen. Fought against this weird fella. And a young nephew of David by the name of Jonathan went out and brought down the giant. You see, here's something that's very, very interesting. And this happens in the kingdom. I believe it's a principle in the kingdom. Once a spirit has been subdued, it's easier to subdue other spirits. Once David brought down Goliath, people said, hey, we can bring down giants too. So elders, don't you feel bad that you're not in the battle doing what you used to do and you can't slay Goliath like you used to. Understand something. You've taught some youngsters that now they can go forth and they can slay Goliath because you did it. And your example becomes an inspiration. And they say, if he did it, I can do it too. And maybe I can kill two of them. Amen. If they say that, amen, and just get with them, back them up, and let them go. Hallelujah. You know what I appreciated about Elijah, when Elijah was getting ready to go and Elisha said, I want a double portion of your spirit, he didn't get offended. He didn't say, who do you think you are, you little whippersnapper? You want to do twice as what I've done? Ain't nobody can do what I've done. He didn't have that kind of spirit. He said, if you're with me when I go, you can have it. In other words, you've got to be faithful. You've got to stick with it. You can't sleep late. You've got to get out of bed when I get out of bed. Amen. You've got to go when I go. You can stop when I stop. But when I get up, you better get up. Amen. You see, we're not going to have a revival like we had in the past if we're not willing to pay the price that we paid in the past. If you want Grandpa's revival, you've got to pray Grandpa's prayers. You've got to fast like Grandpa. You've got to worship like Grandpa. You've got to do what Grandpa did. You've got to know Grandpa's God. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so David learned a lesson. He said, if I'm going to fight this Goliath, I need to enlist the help of some others. Amen. I'm not really good. I'm going to be honest with you. My wife's a good delegator. She can delegate like nobody's business. She can tell me more things to do than I can get done. But I'm going to just tell you something. If I ever ask for help, I need it. Because if I don't need help, I won't ask for it. And most of the time, even if I need it, I won't ask for it. But if you see me with both hands full and both feet full, amen, and my mouth full, amen, and I can't even ask for help, that'd be a good idea if you'd just pitch in. And don't stand around and wait for me to ask, because I probably won't. Amen. And that's not a good thing. That's not a good thing. Not a good thing. But it's something. What is it I've heard people say? That's just the way I am. And then I heard a preacher say, that's not good enough. So I think maybe I better listen and take more medicine, huh? Amen. Praise the Lord. But to us old David, sometimes we got used to doing it ourselves. Amen. But now we got to have some help. You know, we can't, and I've noticed this. You see, I was out of the pastoral role for about, from 1992 until about 2000. I was totally, and even longer than that, I was out of the pastoral role. And then when I came back to be a pastor again, it wasn't the same as it was when I was a pastor before, because things changed. Amen. Our whole world has changed. And it has changed so fast. When I was getting ready to leave the United States to go to Columbia, there was I think she's an actress, a comedian or something, by the name of Ellen DeGeneres. And she decided that she was going to come out of the closet and announce that she was gay. And people were saying that if she did that, that her career would tank and it would be the end of it. Because she was one of the very first ones that ever did that, because everybody was still in the closet. When I came back from Columbia, just a few years later, it seemed like everybody and their dog was out of the closet. I just read that positive mention of homosexuality has risen 2,400% in just a few years' time. That's the kind of spirit we're facing today. And that's why you can't fight Goliath the way you used to fight Goliath. You know, we used to just tell people, well, all you got to do is just pray through. Well, that's a big help. But sometimes you got to have more help than just praying through. Sometimes folks got to have some counseling as well. That's right. They are so messed up. They got addictions on top of addictions. We're fighting a different kind of Goliath today. Amen. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Amen. We got people today, when you talk about Calvary, they're listening for the for the trumpet. And they're not thinking about a cross and a hill and a Savior. They're thinking about soldiers on horseback. We live in a different world. We're fighting a different Goliath today. Amen. So we got to have one another. Amen. But I want you to know, even though we have to have the help of one another, we got to fight this battle together. Amen. Victory is still assured, and victory is still sweet. The Scripture goes on to tell us here, it said, and those four were born, these four were born to the giant in Gath, and they fell by the hand of David and by the hand of his servant. You see, David's still getting some credit. He was still in the battle, wasn't he? As a matter of fact, after that first battle, they said, now David, this is it. You get back on your throne and you get off of this battlefield. You can do us a whole lot better from there than you can from here. Praise God. Amen. You see, David's days of going out with a sword in his hand were past. Now he could do better with his prayer and his influence and his wisdom and his leadership and his example and his encouragement. So they said, David, you don't come out here anymore. Amen. And he learned his lesson. He didn't last very long. Praise the Lord. Amen. And so David went to, but he's part of the battle, you see. Even though he's not out there swinging the sword, he's just as much a part of the battle as anybody else. He knows how to make strategies. He's been at this a long time. He sees the big picture. Amen. He knows where everybody is, and he knows how to flank, and he knows how to draw surprise and set ambush, and he knows his enemy. He's been fighting these Philistines his whole life. And he knows how to battle. Amen. And elders, that's your value tonight. You've been in this thing a long time. You've been fighting the devil a long time. Don't keep your wisdom to yourself. Don't keep your prayer to yourself. Don't get sidetracked or sidelined because the devil's telling you you're too old to wield the sword anymore. That's not what you do now. Amen. You're known in heaven at the throne, and they tremble in hell when you pray because you've been in this battle for a while and you're known in both realms. Don't let anything hold you back. Amen. So even though David's hand was not on the sword, he was very much a part of the victory. David killed the first Goliath. Amen. Elanan killed the second Goliath. But both Goliaths were just as dead. It didn't make any difference who was holding the sword. They were both dead. It doesn't matter who slays the enemy as long as he's dead. It doesn't matter who gets credit for the victory as long as we gain the victory. Amen. Praise God. That's just all that really matters. We've just got to win the victory. Amen. Praise God. And so it's important that we learn these lessons. There was a group of soldiers by the name of Spartans. Anybody ever heard of the Spartans? The Spartans come up with a plan that was almost invincible. There were not so many of them, but they could win over superior forces because of the way they fought. Amen. And so let me get some help here. Brother Wesley and Brother Brandon, y'all come up here and let's fight a little bit. Amen. Come here, Brother Brandon, Brother Wesley. We need some help here. Okay, here's how we're going to do this. All right, now listen. I want you to go right here in the front. Okay, just like that right there. Now, I want you to stand right here and turn this way. Okay, now, anybody that comes that way, get them. And anybody that comes that way, get them. And anybody that comes from this way, I'll get them. Okay, y'all ready? Let's go. Start walking. Amen. You see, we got them covered on every side. Amen. Not anybody going to get between us. Nobody's going to sneak up on our backside. Because all of us, everybody's pointing toward the enemy. And they developed this triangle way of going to battle. And as long as nobody could get into the core, they couldn't destroy them. And if one of them fell, somebody else just stepped right into his place. He said, I got your back, brother. Nobody, you don't have to worry about that. You just worry about what's in front of you. That's all you got to worry about. You don't worry about anybody backbiting. You don't know anybody about stabbing you in the back. You just get up here. We're going to fight together. I got your back. Amen. Thank you. Praise the Lord. So that's how you go to battle, and that's how you win. Amen. It's a shame that you got to worry about your back in the church. Amen. You got to worry about being hurt in church. Amen. You got to worry about, no, we're not like that, are we? We better not be. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let me get to that from two angles here. We got to cover both sides of this. Amen. Nobody ought to be stabbing you in the back. But on the other hand, you don't need to have such a thin skin that every time somebody says something, you take it wrong either. You're stabbing yourself in the back. I knew some people one time that I couldn't write them a letter because they didn't just read what I said, they read what I didn't say. And then they read what they thought I should have said. And then they read between the lines and before that and after that and forwards and backwards. And the next thing I knew, it didn't matter what I said, I was in trouble. They were looking for a fence. Hey! Get off the fence! Back up to your brother. Get shoulder to shoulder. Understand that we got your back. We're in this fight together. Amen. Because I promise you one thing, Goliath's going to rise again. And we can't take him out by ourselves. But if we'll fight this battle together, amen, he will come down. The outcome will be the same. It doesn't matter whose hand brings him down. It's a victory for the church. It's a victory for the body. When you get a victory, it's my victory. When I get a victory, it's your victory. Amen. Because we're the body of Christ. And members in particular. Let's stand together tonight. Thank you for your time. Amen. I know it's a little bit later. It's not quite 12 yet. Amen. But praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Why don't we just come and everybody come and just stand all as close to front as you can. May have to kind of get down the aisles a little bit. That's all right. Amen. And then I want you to get somebody's hand.